Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. These are the scriptures we'll be looking at this morning. Romans chapter 14, verses 7 through 12. We understand that Paul has written about those who observe a special diet. Paul said one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eateth vegetables or herbs. There were some who rated one day above another, and therefore they considered it to be a special day. One esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. That is, he rates them all just exactly the same. And then Paul writes what I consider to be the truth about special days and special diets. He tells us that if we eat, then we should eat unto the Lord. And if we don't eat, we should not eat unto the Lord. And if you observe a day, or if you don't observe a day, do it for the Lord. After you've done one essential thing, and that is offer thanks. Evidently, those who observed special days were very critical of those who didn't. Those who didn't observe a special day would point at that one that didn't and say, you're weak in the faith. That's all been done away with. Same kind of attitude existed about eating certain foods, particularly about meat. Some just became vegetable eaters, and they judged the meat eaters as being more barbaric and less spiritual. And the ones that ate meat looked at the vegetable eaters and said, you people lack faith. You people have not accepted the full atoning work of Jesus Christ. So there were those who believed in a special day and those who didn't. Paul said that really doesn't make any difference. The thing that counts is this. Number one, that you do it or you don't do it regarding the Lord. And also that you first give thanks. So if you've picked out a day and said that's special, just give God thanksgiving for it. If you've got a plate of vegetables, just thank God for it and eat them. If you've got a plate of meat, just thank God for it and eat it. If you've got a plate of meat and vegetables, thank God for it and eat it. Now that's the conclusion that he arrived at as an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Paul continues in verse 7 by saying that these issues, that is special days and special diets, will not separate us from God. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. Paul is emphasizing that we are never alone, that he is always with us. So whether we're eating meat, God is with us. Or whether we're eating vegetables, God is with us. And whether we're living, God is with us. And whether we're dying, God is with us. For he emphasizes in verse 8 that we are the Lord's. And that's the theme I'd like for us to keep in mind this morning as we study these verses of Scripture. In verse 8, Paul writes, for whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord, and whether we live, therefore die, we are the Lord's. For whether we live unto the Lord. While we live, our life is for the Master. And whether we die unto the Lord. When we die, our death is for the Master. So if we can live for the Master, and we can die for the Master, that's Jesus Christ, then we can eat meat to the Master or not eat meat to the Master. If we can live and die for the Master, then we can observe a day or not observe a day unto the Master. And whether we do these things or whether we don't do these things, we are the Lord's. in life and in death. We belong to the Lord. Once His, we're always His, Paul is saying. We are the Lord's. He bought us. We are the Lord's. The Bible tells us that He died and rose again for this very purpose, that is, of purchasing us, that He might be our Savior and we might be His people. For to this end Christ hath died and revived. For this was the purpose of Christ dying and coming to life, that He might be Lord both of the dead and the living, that He might be Lord over both the dead and the living, because whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. We're the Lord's. He will judge us. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? But you, why do you find fault with your brother? And you, why do you hold your brother in contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now let's look at our context. We're talking about special food. We're talking about special days. We're talking about one person esteeming one day above or on a different scale than all the other days. We're talking about a man who won't eat meat and assumes that he's a better Christian because he won't eat meat. Paul said, in regard to these things, in regard to our lives, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. The word judgment seat here means a raised place. It's just the dais from which judgment was pronounced. There have been those who have said that this word was never used in the New Testament except as a word to describe crowning those who were to receive a reward for running or for participating in what we know as the Olympic Games. That it never has in it the idea of judging from the viewpoint of finding at fault or not finding at fault. That it's never used in that fashion. But I find in the Word of God, in Acts chapter 25, verses 6, verses 10, and verse 17, that this same word that's translated judgment seat here is used to describe the place where Festus sat in Caesarea when he judged Paul the Apostle. And I don't think that Festus was sitting in judgment of Paul to give him a reward. I think Festus was sitting there, as the Bible tells us, in judgment of Paul the Apostle. And that simply means that when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, we will be judged as God's people. And this is the judgment that is for God's people. This is not a general judgment to determine whether we're saved or lost. It is the judgment seat of Christ, where every Christian will someday stand. 1,000 years later, every lost person will come to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. At the end of the millennial reign, the dead, small and great, will be raised from their graves, and the sea will give up the dead that are in it, and all of the lost will then be brought before the great white throne judgment of Jesus Christ. But here in this verse of Scripture, Paul is saying that all of us will be judged as to our lifestyle, that is, how we have lived in this world. All of us will have to stand before the tribunal of God. Paul said, for it is written. And what he's trying to prove to these people is that God has written it, and therefore it must come to pass. God has written. What is it that God has written? Well, he quotes from the Old Testament, for it is written, for Scripture says, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me. As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bend before me. The word that's translated bow means to bend or to curve, and it's used of the knee and its position and its bent in worship or prayer to Almighty God. So Paul said, it's recorded, it is written, God has said, the scriptures say, as I live, that is, because I live, and because I live forever, saith the Lord, every knee shall bend to me, and the indication is it will bend to me in worship, and every tongue shall confess to God. The word tongue here, of course, means that which speaks an acknowledgement, and every tongue shall acknowledge God. Now the word confess is just a little bit different. It means to speak out the same thing with another, to speak the same language, to say the same things, to concede or to admit. So Paul is saying this, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me or bend to me in worship, and then every tongue will agree with everything that I have said. Every tongue will agree with every scripture that's ever been written. Every tongue will agree with me that every truth that I have spoken is the truth. And that's not so today with many of God's people. They are continually arguing with God about what he means or what they ought to do. They have not bowed the knee to God. They're not in worship of God. They're constantly quarreling with God. But Paul is saying one of these days, we will all, every person that's been saved, we will come and we'll bow down before Jesus Christ as an act of worship. And then we will simply say, Lord, I agree. I agree with everything that you've ever said. I agree with every word in the Bible. I agree that life is everything you said it was. And I agree that sin is everything you've said it is. You will not in one single instance disagree with Almighty God. You know, you may live your life according to the way I see it. And I hear people constantly say that all the time. Well, this is the way I see it. Well, the way I see it and the way you see it is going to be set aside, and everything's going to be judged according to the way the Lord sees it. Now, that's based upon an event prophesied by Isaiah in the book of Isaiah chapter 45. And I think this will help us to understand what Paul is talking about. The book of Isaiah chapter 45, and let's begin reading at verse 20. It's important to turn back and look at these scriptures. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 20. Assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now what's Isaiah talking about here? What's the message from God? It's this, that the children who have been scattered have been brought back together, and they assemble themselves, and when they assemble themselves back together, they are worshiping a graven image. They're worshiping gods that they have carved from wood, and they pray unto these gods that they have carved from wood with their own hands, and God characterizes them as gods that cannot save. Any god that comes from the imagination of a man, any god that comes from the cunning of a man's hand, these are truly gods that cannot save. Now, tell ye, that is, talk to me, and bring them near. Yes, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? In other words, who's been preaching this all along? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. God is saying, you people have carved out gods, and you've made them, and you pray to them, and you ask them to save you. These gods cannot save you. I have witnessed to you. I have told you the truth from the very beginning. There is no God else beside me. And I am a just God. I am a saving God. And beside me there is no other. And here's the claim. Here's the encouragement. Look unto me. Don't look to these graven images. Don't look to these things that you've made with your hands. Don't look to these things that are the product of your imagination. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. That is, there is no other God. I have sworn, and here's the verse that Paul quotes from in this the 11th verse of chapter 14. I have sworn by myself, and the reason God swears by himself, because there's none greater. You know, when I take an oath using the name of God, because God is greater, and we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. What? So help us God. Why? Because God is greater. But God could not swear by anything greater than himself. So God said, I have sworn by myself. The word is gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That is, it will accomplish everything that I've said that it will accomplish. That unto me, what's God said? What has God said? God has said that unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear, that is, shall confess. Surely shall one say in the Lord, have I righteousness and strength? What's he saying? Isaiah's saying, you people that have been worshiping idols, you people who have been asking these wooden idols to save you, one of these days you're going to bow the knee before me, and you're going to say, surely in the Lord have I righteousness and strength. You're going to say, I did not get my right standing before God from this idol. I did not get my strength to serve or to live from this idol. Even to him shall men come, and all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. God said, I'm going to do this in order to prove that the times that you've worshipped idols, that you've gone a-whoring after strange gods, you're going to come, Israel as a nation, and you're going to bow down before me in a posture of worship, and you're going to say, God, besides thee, there is no other God. And God, all the righteousness that Israel has come from you. And all the good things that we've ever gotten in life, they have come from you. They're going to acknowledge all of the source of all their spiritual and material blessings. Then Paul takes this same scripture and he applies it to the church and to God's people who are in the church. And Paul is saying, you're quarreling about a special day and you're quarreling about a special diet. You're talking about this food being good and that food being bad, this a good day and that a bad day. Let me tell you something, Paul said. Don't judge one another in respect to these things, because your righteousness didn't come to you because you observed a special day. Your righteousness didn't come because you ate some kind of special food. Your righteousness and mercy didn't come to you because you observed this day or you didn't eat that food. It came to you from the fountain of grace, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, from the ever-flowing fountain of God's mercy. That's where it came from. And everyone's going to bow before God one of these days, and they're going to say that every ounce of righteousness that I have, God, it's come from you through Jesus Christ. And every good and perfect gift that I've ever enjoyed in my life, dear God, it's come from you. And all the idols that we've set up to worship as the source of our blessing and God's mercy will be swept aside in a tide of tears. The Bible tells us that at the judgment seat there'll be tears, and some will be saved, yet so as by fire. This is a future event for me, It's a future event for you. And I think Paul is saying, you people need to live your lives accepting this fact. And it's a sobering fact. It's a certain fact. It's a fact that'll change your life. It'll make what's important seem unimportant. It'll make what seems unimportant to be important. It is a fact that we must accept. Verse 12. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. The word account is just the word that means an entire exposition. It doesn't have to do with a bookkeeping term. You know, some people get the idea that every man shall give an account of himself to God, has into the idea of an accounting. But this really is a word that means the speaking, and it means everything that's been said. Just the whole experience of life itself, an entire exposition of all that we have been and all that we have not been. So then each of us will have to answer for himself to God. And I think that's the issue that all of us need to face. Paul had these people answering to God for another person. They were here with a meat eater saying, of those who didn't eat meat, God, these people don't eat meat. God, you understand that they are weak in the faith. You understand, Lord. They were answering to God for these people. Here's another person who believed a special day as being a very, very unique day, and it ought to be observed by every person. And this person is saying, God, look at that man. He's not observing this very special day. He's just going ahead about his business. And God, you realize that he's wrong. And God, you realize that he ought to be observing this special day. And Paul is more or less saying, why don't you people just shut up about stuff like this? Because all of us will have to answer to God for himself. Now, I don't know. I'll tell you what. This is the Word of God. But I'll tell you what. It'd be the Word of God if it was bound in a red binding. Okay? You see, God doesn't care whether the Bible's bound in black, or whether it's bound in white, or whether it's bound in red. That's the kind of silly arguments that God's people get involved in. And really the issue's not whether it's a black cover or a red cover or a blue cover. It's what's on the inside and what you do with it that really counts before Almighty God. So we need to stop judging one another about these things, and we need to give ourselves to God in the sense of thinking, I'll have to give an account of myself to God. One time, I remember I went to preach, and as I came into the building, a fellow looked at me and sort of stepped back and gave me that kind of Miss America type bow. And said, why, Brother Penn, you look like Speck Rhodes on Grand Ole Opry. Any of you ever, you know what Speck Rhodes look like? Oh, you dumb people. But anyway, that hurt my feelings. And you know what? I preach the same message in that suit that I preach in this holy black suit, okay? You know, it's the same truth. You say, well, I tell you, I don't like the way the preacher dresses. Well, I preach the same truth whether I got a black suit or a brown suit on. Some of these things are under the heading of my business, okay? And what kind of car does God want you to drive? I don't think God cares what kind of car you drive. I don't think he'll help you get a Cadillac. I don't think he'll break you down so you have to drive a Ford. I believe that's your business before God. If you can afford it, drive it. It's not my business. Whether it has white sidewalls or black sidewalls, it's just none of my business. And same thing with clothes. Same thing with things of this nature. Every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. And you're saying, amen, that's right, preacher. But I'm going to tell you something. You're going to give an account for the way you dress, too. Perhaps I should say the way you undress.
You see, it's not just a matter of saying, well, I don't, you know, if that's true, then I can just hike the skirt up as high as I want to, get just as tight as I want. Doesn't make any difference. That's my business. Let me tell you, not only will those who judge you be wrong in the sense of judging you, but you can be wrong in choosing things, okay? And God will judge us for that. Paul is trying to say, all of us have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. It's not just the meat eaters. You know, the meat eaters were saying, of the non-meat eaters, you know, those non-meat eaters, one of these days they're going to stand before God and be judged because they didn't eat any meat or because they ate meat, you know. And Paul has said, all of us, meat eaters and non-meat eaters, we're all going to have to feel it. Somebody says, oh, look at all those special day people. They're going to have to stand before God one of these days. Well, they may, and they will, but so shall I, and so shall you. We'll have to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So Paul sort of sums it all up by saying, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. And that's where we'll get to this evening. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Judge anymore in regard to what? Doctrinal truth? No. That's not my prerogative to believe in salvation, but grave for salvation by works. I don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about special days, special diets, all these things. That's your business. It's not mine. God will judge you for it. God will judge me. God will judge all of us. And these matters that are of not doctrinal issue, Paul said, let there be freedom. Let there be a choice. Let people decide whether they want to eat meat or whether they want to eat vegetables. Let people decide about a day. And I rather suspect Paul is saying there's a lot of liberty in Christ in regard to all these things, but don't use your liberty to cause people to go astray. In fact, we'll be looking at that this evening. You know, I said, okay, brother, if I got that kind of liberty, let me show you what all I can do. And what you do becomes so terribly offensive that your good is evilly spoken of. There has to be a moderation. There has to be a concern. Am I offending my brother? There has to be a concern. Is this unscriptural in its very face? Is this just a cultural habit? Or is it forbidden in the Word of God? You know, these are things that we have to decide. And sometimes they're not easy. But just remember this, right or wrong. You say, well, all those wrong people will be before Jesus Christ in judgment. Yeah, and all the right people will be too. So whether we're right or whether we're wrong, that's where we're going. Have you ever heard people say, well, I just don't know where this old world is going? Well, I do. I know where this old world is going. It's going to the judgment seat of Christ. It's going to be judged of Almighty God. I don't know what will happen in between, but I know what's going to happen at the end. We must all give account or answer for our lives lived here on earth. Let's stand together as our musicians come for our hymn of invitation. And as we sing this morning, if you're here, you've never trusted in the Lord. We're not talking about your being here and being judged for days and months and moons and seasons and food and all that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about you're already condemned. You don't have to be judged in order to be condemned. You're already condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. You don't have to wait until you die to find out whether you're condemned or not. If you believe not, you're condemned already. But he that believeth, and that's where it all hinges. He that believeth not, and he that believeth. This morning, as we sing our hymn of invitation, and as the Spirit of God speaks to you, if you're here this morning and you're lost, you've never trusted Him, but you come and trust Him. If you're here this morning, you're out of service, hadn't been serving the Lord, it sort of bothers you to talk about the judgment. Your lifestyle has been the kind that you know you'll have to answer to God for. Will you come now while we sing this hymn of invitation? Give your heart to the Lord.
Confess your sins now before Him and do His will.